How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw the curtain to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we shall meet a young man whose tremendous energy was to carry him to the top of the heap of life. But first, a word from a familiar voice. And now, step with me behind the scenes to the great city of New York in the early teens of the 20th century. The battle of the shorthand experts is being waged at a furious pace. Mr. Gregg and Mr. Pittman have been firing fantastic claims at 60 paces, each claiming that his system of shorthand notation is far superior to any other. And today will mark the culmination of their bitter feud, for the finals on the World Speed Shorthand Contest are about to take place. Success had seemed certain for Mr. Gregg's protege, for up to this point he'd met and defeated all comers with the sure, swift ease of a champion. But last night an unforeseen calamity had taken place. The boy had broken his right index finger. It's absurd to try, Billy. Why not withdraw and save yourself the embarrassment and disappointment? Why, you can't even hold a pen with your finger bound up like that. Gregg was right. Billy couldn't hold a pen in the conventional way, but he had an idea that just might work. Taking up his pen, he shoved it through a raw potato, and with this clumsy implement clutched in his fist, he entered the contest and valiantly took all that the dictators could give. Billy and his potato pen won the competition, and at the tender age of 18, he was crowned shorthand king of the world. Billy stayed with shorthand for a few more years, touring for Mr. Gregg and taking dictation from all comers in all languages, but he soon tired of it. After all, he reasoned, I'm a young man and I can go no farther in shorthand. I must think of my future. His parents were sure that he lost his mind, but he'd heard about Irving Berlin and the money to be made in songwriting, and so decided to try his hand at that. The fact that he knew nothing about music didn't bother him at all. He could learn what he needed, and he knew that Berlin couldn't read a note. So Billy began haunting the public library, studying songs. He read almost all of the hits that had been published since the turn of the century, indexing and cataloging them for phrase and rhyme, searching for the secret to writing a hit. A secret which he evidently found, for his first song was Barney Google. And almost immediately after its first appearance, it was being hummed and played throughout the country. Billy continued writing hit songs until he'd become one of America's outstanding songwriters, an acknowledged leader among the denizens of Tin Pan Alley. But as always, Billy became bored with success. From the top of the heap, you can climb no higher, and Billy'd been born with a driving urge to climb. He turned to nightclubs and opened one which he called the Backstage Retreat, a shabby little place that immediately did a flourishing business. Its success inspired him to open another, the Fifth Avenue Club, so swank that his own head waiter refused him admission because he lowered the tone of the place. Now, before the conclusion to our story, a word from your announcer. This fabulous little man who became so bored by success finally turned to the theater and here at last found a suitable outlet for his vast store of energy and enthusiasm. He's brought to American audiences everything from tragedy to circus, from ballet to burlesque, but always on the grand scale. Colossal is perhaps the best word in the English language with which to describe the operations of the fantastic Billy Rhodes. This is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.